Hello and welcome to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. My name is Patrick Rice, and I'm joined with my good friend and brother in Christ, Dan Demite.
What's up, Patrick?
Dan, I'm so excited. We have Patrick Brennan on the show with us. Patrick is a full-time evangelist with St. Paul Street Evangelization.
All right.
He's one of the most amazing, I call him biblical testimonies, because it looks like he just walks straight off the pages of the Bible. And I think this is going to be an amazing, inspiring show. So if you're hungry, if you're thirsty, if you feel dry, like, God is going to be ministering to you powerfully in this testimony. Before we jump into this and talk about the stuff that's going to be happening, Dan, lead us in prayer, please.
Yes, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God the Father, we just pray for a new Pentecost to fall upon the church, that our lives would look like the lives of the apostles in the early church, Lord, that you would renew your wonders, that we would see your power, that we'd see a greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Lord, just open our minds and our hearts to desire more of you. Let us never become satisfied. Let us never quench your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill us with hunger and a desire for more. God, give us more. We want more of you, more of your love, more of your power poured out into our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would touch our listeners' lives today, that their hearts would be transformed, that their minds would be expanded so that they can know you more, Lord, and expect more from you, Lord.
And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that any lie that it's wrong for me to ask for more of God in my life, or that that's selfish, we'll just be bound up. But God, you would give us such a conviction that we need more because the world around us needs more. And we can't bless others unless you first bless us. So Lord, let us wrestle like Jacob with the angel and say, we're not letting go until we receive blessing. And we pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Oh, so good, Patrick.
Hey, Dan, do you like wrestling?
I was a wrestler in high school, and I'm a wrestling coach now. Did you know that?
No,
I coach.
Are you teaching your sons like?
A little Pee Wee League. He's 8, and he's a wrestler now, and he's actually pretty sweet. But coaching is even better than wrestling itself. It's just so good.
You should also teach them how to wrestle with angels and go after the blessing of God.
Oh, yeah, that every morning before he goes off to school, that's what we do. Like, come on, boy, we're going to wrestle angels in the basement.
No,
I love
it.
Till they give us the blessing.
That picture has been just like haunting me. It's the most ostentatious thing for a guy to do, especially someone in the Old Covenant. Like, the Old Covenant is nothing in comparison to what we have in the New Covenant, but you have Jacob who encounters this angel, and he wrestles him. He won't let him go until he gets blessed. And maybe, Dan, that's like the template that we should have when we go into pray. God, I'm not leaving this chair. I'm not leaving this church until you pour out your spirit and you bless me.
Yeah.
Am I missing something?
I love that. I don't know when like this modern heresy or fallacy came into our mindset that like we weren't supposed to strive eagerly for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because I believe that's what St. Paul taught us to do.
And the first gift of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit himself. Amen.
Yeah. So why would I not
Holy
want
Ghost
to wrestle until I receive the
most.
Blessing of Holy Spirit? Amen. Yes. Oh, I love that image.
Amen.
Yes.
Okay.
Jake, just let the spirit of Jacob fall upon us and we would wrestle with God.
So back to the point.
Yes.
There is a point.
There's a point.
Patrick Brennan is on the show, and he's one of the hungriest guys I know. He's a full-time evangelist with St. Paul Street Evangelization. He's a student at the Encounter School of Ministry here in Michigan. I get to interact with him a lot. I know he spends time with you at Damascus. We're blessed to have him in our life. But he's, Dan, I feel like before anything else, he's so not only just hungry for God, but he prays with such a boldness, like an identity. I know who I am. I'm a son of God. My inheritance is God. He's my inheritance. I'm his inheritance. And he, because of that, like, he has these powerful encounters with God that if I can have anything for you listeners out there, that you'd listen to the show and you'd be like, wow, that's how I need to pray. God, that you would bless me so I can be a blessing to the world around me.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. Amen to that. I think that right now what God wants to do in the church is he wants to just transform our minds and our hearts, that we would go from having just a kind of a mentality of limitation to a mentality of expectation, right? That we would go from limiting God to expecting God. And I think sometimes when we pray, we put limitations on God as opposed to placing our expectations on them. You know, like, I just think, like, when my children come to me as their father with requests, they have an expectation that I'm going to fulfill their request. And you just see that out of Patrick's life, that the limitations have been gone. Like, and it's just like, God, I expect you to work in power because you are a powerful father. You know, like, I expect you to show up because what do? You show up. Like, you're present. You're not a far off and distant father. You're a God who loves his children, who's with his children. When I ask you to come, you're going to come. And when I ask you to work, you're going to work because you love me. And I just think, if there's any of us that are struggling with a mindset of limitation, where we've placed limitations on God or we've placed limitations on ourselves, that like, oh, God can't work through me because I'm this or that, or God hasn't worked in this situation yet, so he's not going to work in this situation, or it must be his will that this doesn't happen. Just, I want us to just pray that, God, you would fill me with a heart and a mindset of expectation, that I would just expect renewal. I would expect revival. I would expect outpouring, that I would expect you to come and show up and be with me. Come, Holy Spirit, just change our mindsets, Lord, that limitations would be gone in Jesus' name, and we would just be filled with expectation and hunger.
So good. And like that, I think that the thing is that the hunger is always there, that we really are made, we're made from God for God. And everyone has this natural hunger. The question is, like, do you want that hunger filled with God?
Yeah.
Do you want it filled with his spirit, or do you want it filled with the things of the world? And we're not dualists. We're not Manichaeans, and the, you know, flesh and the world are bad and the spirit's good. No, everything that's good comes from God. But mm-hmm. what actually, you have a God-shaped hole in your heart, as Blaise Pascal says, and only God can minister that deeper place in your heart. Something that achievement can never get, worldly success can never get. And one of the things too I love is that, you know, Patrick, he tried to do that. And what we're going to hear from a story, which I know part of it, is the dude is like accomplished multiple degrees. And then he responded with that honesty that this is, you know, this is who I am. I need you, God. And this is what's led him to a lifestyle of street evangelization. So let's go ahead. Let's take a break, Dan.
Yeah.
And then bring him back on the show. And then I just want to hear it from him. Sound good?
I love it.
All right. So you're listening to Encounter. Encounter is a co-production of St. Gabriel Radio, EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We're going to take a break, but when we come back on the show, we're going to have Patrick Brennan sharing his life-changing encounter with us. Stay tuned.
Wherever you are, find Encounter with Dan Demite and Patrick Rice on EWTN Radio, the EWTN app, Amazon Echo, Facebook, SoundCloud, podcast, and follow them on Twitter at Encounter EWTN.
My name is Father Matthias Thalen, and I want to invite you to the Encounter Conference January 3rd through 5th, 2019 at the Seagate Center in Toledo, Ohio. This conference is going to be a time of spiritual refreshment, encouragement, empowerment, an impartation for more of the Holy Spirit for the sake of evangelization. And we're inviting evangelization leaders from all over the country. Not only that, it's our conviction that God wants to raise up families that are familiar with the supernatural, that can actually do the things that Jesus did. And so we're going to have a teen track. We're going to have a kids track so that they too can do what Jesus did. To learn more about this conference and to register, please visit encounter2019.com. Encounter2019.com. Hope to see you there.
Hello and welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. And we are excited to have on the show with us Patrick Brennan. Welcome, Patrick.
Yeah, Patrick.
Beautiful,
welcome.
And handsome name. I love it.
Two Patricks.
Amen. Great, Dad. Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so Patrick, you know the show. We want to focus before we start just jumping into, like, what are you doing that's awesome? We want to know, what has he done in your life that's awesome for you? So if you could just share with us your testimony, that would be awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm originally from East Lansing, Michigan, and I was blessed to grow up in a Catholic family and in a family that was always consistent when it came to going to Sunday Mass. And I would say there was the presence of God in our family, in the sense that we were living moral lives and making, good decisions as a family. But I would say, Not until my 20s did I really encounter God, and did I really come to know Him as my Father and Jesus as Lord. You know, when I was younger, I was even involved in retreats growing up, high school retreats at my Catholic high school in Lansing, and then when I went to college at Michigan State, I got involved there in campus ministry. But it's funny how, you know, sometimes we can come to know God in a limited way and in a way that is comfortable, and we can kind of stop there. And I would say that's where I was at. I came to know Him in a comfortable, limited way. And unfortunately, when I was limited in my knowledge of God, it limited His ability to break through in my life.
Mm.
And so the decisions that I made in my life as far as, you know, career and relationships, with women and, you know, just choices on a daily basis, it was really separate from the voice of God, the anointing of God. I mean, all of those things just weren't really part of my life, even though I had a lifestyle of living as a Catholic. So, I guess I would fast forward to my mid-20s. I was about 24, and by this time, I had actually gone to law school and graduated from law school, and really my whole life growing up thought I was going to be a lawyer, just like my dad, and I have a few lawyers in my family, and so I thought, well, I'm gonna do what my dad does. Well, I graduated and got my first job, and I realized I hated it. I couldn't stand, you know, the practice of law, and it just felt like I was living somebody else's life. And so I got to this point where I said, okay, well, I'm just really going to follow my passion, and I want to do something that brings me alive. And I'd always been a huge sports fan, so I said, well, maybe I can use my law degree to become a sports agent, and I'll be like the next Jerry Maguire, and
yes,
it'll be amazing. So I actually ended up moving down from Michigan down to Alabama to enroll in a sports management program down there. And once I made the move down there, I thought, all right, this is it. This is the plan for my fulfillment and happiness. And I began this program of study. And a couple of semesters into that program, I still had this restlessness in me, this unhappiness in me. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with me? What's the deal here? I don't understand. I thought this was going to kind of complete me, so to speak. And actually, just one night in my apartment, I got down on my knees and I just said, God, I don't know what to do with my life. And I'm out of ideas. I have nothing left, but you have to do something. You have to show me. And it was a very just simple prayer from the heart. It wasn't anything long or complicated. It was just, God, do something. Show me why I'm here. And then a few days after I said that prayer, three days after I said that prayer, I visited a friend of mine who was sick in the hospital. And I go to the hospital in Mobile, Alabama, and in the hospital room, my friend is lying on the bed, and his sister is also in the room with us. And totally unsolicited and out of the blue, his sister says to me, she says, Patrick, for some reason, I feel like I'm supposed to pray with you. Now, mind you, at that point in my life, never had I had anyone pray over me before, or even much of praying with me. The whole concept of spontaneous prayer just wasn't really a normal part of my life, even though I sometimes had done that. So I'm thinking, when she says, let's pray, I'm like, okay, well, let's do an Our Father and call it good. But she sits me down, and she puts her hand on my shoulder, and she just begins to ask for the Holy Spirit to come into my life. And I'm not kidding you. it was like the tangible presence of God just filled the room. And all of a sudden, this holy presence fell upon the room and began to flow through me. And it was as if an electric current was flowing through me, and somebody had just, you know, hooked me up to some form of electricity. And
Holy Spirit.
And I'm thinking, I don't know what's going on, but I know that this is amazing. I mean, it was awesome and holy, even though it was also, you know, confusing and in some sense, a little bit uncomfortable, because I'm beginning to tear up and, you know, beginning to like cry and fall to my knees. So all these things are happening, but it was like, I knew it was God. I knew it was mm-hmm. God. And because of my prayer, earlier in the week, I knew that my heart wanted more of him, and my heart wanted to know, you know, how he could lead my life and how he could fill my life. So
wow.
by the time this prayer is finished, I'm just undone. My heart is like on fire. And after that prayer was over, immediately after, I wanted to tell people about Jesus just right away.
Thank you, Jesus.
I get up out of the hospital room, and I'm literally walking up to like staff members and nurses and people in the hospital and saying like, hey, can I pray for you?
You know, yes. You want to feel electric fire? Yeah.
I got the gift of the Holy Spirit. Who else wants it? Let's go. That's awesome,
that's
man.
It.
Dude, can we do it? I want to do a praise break. That's just amazing. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
You work in such
praise,
a powerful
fire,
way.
Love,
yes.
And glory.
I love that you say, like, when you're telling this like testimony, Patrick, you're like, I'm not even kidding you, as if like, because we've conditioned ourselves that the Holy Spirit, when we pray over people, that he doesn't come, like, and so like, you have to like, guys, this isn't a joke, like, he actually came in power, you know, like, Pentecost actually still happens, and like, I just love that, like, yeah, this is what we should expect, like, this is who God is, that when we pray over people, for his presence to fall, his presence is gonna fall.
Right, that's right, and so I wanted that. All of a sudden, I wanted that for other people, right? And I think that was the kind of thrust that came from God into my heart, was like, oh my gosh, I have to tell everybody that God is real, that he loves me, and that he wants to actually come into your life in a tangible, real way, and not just like an abstract way.
Amen.
And so the next 3 days after this prayer experience, I mean, I could not be quiet about Jesus. And I literally went out onto the sidewalks around my apartment, just looking for people. Who can I pray for? You know, who can I tell about Jesus? And on the third day momentum of evangelization, I was having a lunch with a friend of mine at a sub shop in Alabama, and driving over, I just had this fire in my heart, like, I've got to get up in front of the people in this restaurant and tell people about Jesus.
Yes, do it, Patrick.
So yep. we get over there to have lunch. And we had our sandwiches. We ate our sandwiches, and I turned to my friend who I'm there with, and I said, "Sit right here for a minute. I have to get up and do something." And I stood up, and there was probably about 20 to 30 people in this sub shop, and I said, "Excuse me, everybody. Excuse me." I said, "I'm sorry to interrupt your lunch, but I just want everybody in here to know that God loves you more than you could ever possibly imagine."
Yes.
That he hasn't abandoned you, that he hasn't forsaken you, that he has dreams and plans for your life. And if you open your heart to him, he can give you that life. And it was like as simple as that. It was probably a minute long. And so people are, you know, kind of giving me either one of two reactions, right? You have some people that are like, hey, that's awesome. Like, thanks for that word. And then you have other people that are thinking like, this guy needs to get away from me right now.
He needs to leave.
So the funny thing is, I didn't stop there. I actually left. We left that restaurant. I went into the restaurant next door. I just walked right in and said the same thing.
This is the best.
And then,
that is true missionary zeal.
A third time, went to a third restaurant next door to that one. Did the same thing. I would say it was as explosive, you know, of an evangelistic, you know, outpouring as I've had. And what's interesting is I actually thought that the rest of my life, I thought, well, gosh, maybe God's calling me to just be a restaurant preacher and I could just go.
Yeah.
You know,
I want that t-shirt, the restaurant preacher,
and tell people about Jesus. But ultimately I did kind of come down from this mountaintop, you know, this transfiguration high experience, and back to normal, quote unquote, even though I've really never been normal since this all happened.
Amen. Dude, I love this story. It just reminds me so much of Pentecost, like that when the baptism of the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles at Pentecost, they were so filled that what is their immediate response? It's to go out on the streets and to evangelize. And I think sometimes we separate holiness and mission, right? But we're not called to be disciples or missionaries. We're called to be missionary disciples. And it was like the moment you became a follower of Jesus Christ, you also became a missionary. And it's just that, like, Pentecost, like, oh, Peter gets the fire and then he goes out in the streets. The apostles get the fire. They go out in the streets and you are living it because of the Holy Spirit.
That's right. That's right.
I love that.
And I would say the most like earth-shattering thing that really blew my mind was the ability to experience God in a tangible way. I mean, that's what this came down to for me, was knowing God in a way that I could not deny. In a way that physically changed me and changed the way I thought about God. Because I think up to that point in my life, I just didn't know that God could actually touch you.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Amen.
And even though we receive the Eucharist tangibly, it's like, you know, when we live in friendship with God, He wants to reveal Himself more and more, and that's going to include tangible experiences, which is so awesome.
Yes, I love that. I like to, because I think baptism of the Holy Spirit, we use that phrase in the church, and I think sometimes some people are a little concerned or confused by it because they're like, wait, are you trying to say there's another sacrament? And it's not that at all, right? But the phrase baptism of the Holy Spirit is meant to contextualize when the love of God the Father becomes tangible in your life, right? That the gifts of the Holy Spirit are stirred up in you in a powerful way because the Father's love becomes real. And I, you know, if the Father, if He is real, don't you think He wants us to know He's real? Like, so we should expect that He's going to reveal His Himself to us in a tangible way, because when a father loves his children, he expresses his love tangibly to his children. A father doesn't just love his children from afar, but actually the father wants his children to know that he wants the children to know that they're loved by his touch.
Also,
right.
I think what we're learning here is that a lot of Christians, like, you know, Catholics, we grow up thinking that Jesus died so I could one day get to heaven. And then we kind of put up with earth. And I know that there was a priest who one time went in front of a bunch of kids, described what we know about heaven and how great it is. And he said, you know, how many of you want to go to heaven when you die? And they're like, everyone raised their hand. And he said, how many of you want to go to heaven right now? And then all the kids put their hands down. They're like, because they didn't want it. But I think the reality is that Jesus didn't just die so that we could one day get to heaven. He died to get heaven inside of us. And the heaven inside of us is God. It's the Holy Spirit living inside of us, this immersion, this being transformed. This baptism of the Holy Spirit is what I think does that. And until you've experienced and encountered the love of God in this just, you know, 3D high definition way, like, yeah, you're just going to kind of be going through the motions. But would you agree with that, Patrick?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I want to say this too, that when this all happened to me, I also came to the wrong conclusion that, this would be the only touch of God I would receive. Mm. That I had this one experience, and I can kind of lean on that, you know, for the rest of my life, and look back on it as some sort of like good high school football memory or something like that. But what I realized is that that was just one of the things God wanted to do. And since then, I've had multiple encounters with God in different ways. Just like you would have encounters with, you know, your spouse or, you know, your parents, somebody close to you in your life, they're going to relate to you in different ways and reveal themselves in different ways. And that's happened again and again. I've had multiple encounters with the Holy Spirit, fillings of the Holy Spirit that have physically touched me, changed the way that I've thought about God, broken off limits. And the other thing I would say too, is that the Holy Spirit, he doesn't come tangibly and then go away. So mm-hmm. what I had to learn is that those tangible encounters with God that I've had, it wasn't God saying, oh, here I am touching you, and then I'm leaving. It's God saying, I want you to know, here I am with you, and even when you're feeling me or when you're not feeling me, I'm here.
Amen.
And wow. that is
I dwell in you.
Amen. That was so beautiful for me to come to that conclusion that, oh my gosh, whether I feel you or not, your presence, the power of your presence is the same. So I relate it to, you know, Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. They have this incredible encounter of Jesus's glory, but remember that they walked up the mountain with the same Jesus and they came down the mountain with the same Jesus.
Yes.
He didn't leave them. He didn't change who he was. He just was relating to them in a different way. So my encouragement for anyone listening is that we want to have those and be open to those tangible encounters with God, but we also want to recognize the fullness of his presence is with us, whether we feel him or not.
Yeah, amen.
I just want to make a declaration
right,
that we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so listeners, just say, I am a temple of the Holy Spirit, and God's presence dwells within me. And just as we recognize that, it just unleashes, it gives God permission to allow his presence to become more aware to you. So I am a temple of the Holy Spirit, and God's presence dwells within me.
I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. God's presence dwells within me.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sweet. Patrick, what's the last encounter you've had with God? Like, powerful encounter? I mean, you described this one from a long time ago. I'm just curious.
Well, that's funny you ask that, Patrick, because I was just at the Encounter School of Ministry this past week in Brighton, Michigan, and we had a night of teaching on the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and then a powerful time of prayer ministry. And what ended up happening is I had a friend of mine who's an intern for Encounter Ministries. He came up to me and he began to pray that I would experience God as a child, that I would experience this. How did he call it? He said, you know, the baby Jesus anointing. it's so crazy how, like I said, God is going to touch us and relate to us in different ways throughout our lives. And when he spoke that baby Jesus anointing over me, it was like I could not stop laughing. All of a sudden, this laughter came from just the depth of belly, right, that I couldn't possibly produce this on my own, just this childlike laughter. I end up on the floor. I end up just giddy like a child, right? And one of the things I love so much is the truth of being a child of God and, you know, being held by the Father, held in the arms of the Father and surrounded by his arms. I love that truth. And so I think it was God's way of saying, like, I don't want you to just know that in your head, Patrick. I want you to experience that right now, that you're my child, and I love you.
Listeners, you are listening to Encounter, a co-production of St. Gabriel Radio, EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And I just want you to know, listeners, that Patrick Brennan is the real deal. Because I think one of the most important questions that we can be asked is like, hey, when's the last time that God touched you with his love? And if we can't point to an actual encounter, an incarnate moment of God's love, just not in an awareness, God loves me, but like, oh, he loved me in this way, then I think that's an invitation to cry out to God and ask for him to pour out his spirit, that you want that. Because that's how it all started with you, Patrick. And I love it. I can just ask you, like, hey, when's the last time God touched you? You're like, boom, yesterday. just sharing your faith with us. And this is so beautiful. Now, Patrick, I'd love to just talk about encounter after encounter that God's done for you. But I also want to, in the time that we have, hear about how he's used you to touch others. So I know that you're a full-time evangelist with St. Paul Street Evangelization in Michigan. Can you share with us some encounters you've had with people and how you've brought the love of Jesus to them?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, one of the really powerful things that I've been involved with in the past few years is an event called the Flint Mission. And this is where we take groups of high school students and we equip them to be evangelists on the streets of Flint every summer. We do this for a week. And one of the things that's amazing working with young people, working with teenagers, is they're typically more open to praying with people, praying over people, and just being open to the power of God than maybe somebody that's a little bit older. There's something about, like we were talking before, about children and people who know that they're either growing in the Lord and maturing in the Lord, or they're still children at heart, even if they're older. So these kids, you know, they'll come to Flint for a week and we'll take them out. And I remember this was 2 years ago. One of the things that we started to do is before we went out on the streets, we said, Lord, you know, who do you want us to touch today? Who do you want to send us out to? And one of the kids had an image of a person in a wheelchair, and she actually, you know, saw the person in her mind and what this man looked like in her mind's eye, and then we went out to the streets. And at some point, she recognized this man in the wheelchair. She said, "Oh my gosh, I think that's the person that I saw in my mind." And so she goes up to him, and he had this skin condition. Okay, so I'm not sure. I can't remember why he was in the wheelchair, but what I do remember is the skin condition, because he had these like blotches on his skin. And this young lady, teenager, says, would you mind if I prayed with you? And as she prayed for him and called upon the Holy Spirit, the blotches on the skin literally began to disappear right before her eyes and right before the eyes of this man in the wheelchair. And they were so astounded by it that she actually stopped praying, because the man was so taken aback that he actually asked her to stop praying. And
wow.
And it was one of those moments where again, a tangible encounter with God that you couldn't deny. And I think one of the things that we took away from this moment is sometimes when people have a tangible encounter, they embrace it wholeheartedly. And other times when they have a tangible encounter, it's so freaky that they don't want to go any further.
Yeah.
So that's one of my favorite stories.
Wow. No, it's amazing. When we read in the Gospels that it's these demonstration of power, these miracle stories, and mostly healings, that actually force people to make a decision about Jesus. And a lot of people are comfortable, you know, with like a cultural Jesus, a domesticated Jesus. But once you encounter personally his love and power, it forces you to make not a decision like, whoa, what am I going to do in response to that? And I think that can frighten people that aren't willing to make that, that aren't open to any kind of changes. A lot of people do, but I mean, look at the Pharisees. They saw all the miracles, right?
Yep.
And they still turned away.
That's interesting. So did he end up like, what was the processing after that?
You know, unfortunately, it was one of those moments where he just didn't want to go any further.
Yeah.
And you know, so I don't know where he's at today. You know, we didn't get his contact information like I should have, but
I think that's so. Patrick, you probably see a lot of different, because so you're involved in St. Paul Street Evangelization and you're out on the street doing a lot of like initial evangelization and prayer ministry with people. Do you see like what's the percentage of people that are like eager when they to like have conversations and to be prayed with over like for a outpouring of the Holy Spirit and versus those who are kind of just freaked out and scared?
I would say, just to encourage listeners, that the majority of people are open. And I've found that if we approach somebody in love and, you know, with just normal conversation, you know, so I'm not going up to people immediately and saying like, hey, do you know Jesus? And can I pray with you right now? Like, I suppose I did do that.
Scream about Jesus in three restaurants.
Jesus freak.
Lover of the Lord.
I've got to approach people in love, and I've got to approach people in a way that opens their heart. And the amazing thing is, if we approach in love, I mean, the majority of people are going to receive that because we're made to be loved. So, I would say one of the best things about street evangelization is it's actually not scary. It's actually very normal when you're a Christian because you're driven by love. You're pouring out love, and hopefully the person is open to a prayer encounter and the power of the Holy Spirit. But even if they're not, even if you just love them, you can still, you know, communicate the presence of God just through that that interaction, even if it doesn't lead to like a power encounter. But you know, one other story that just comes to mind that I want to tell is we were over the summer we were at a fireworks shop for right around the 4th of July this past summer. And there were three of us out there praying with people and evangelizing, and we go into this tent where there were all these fireworks, and the lady behind the counter, we approach her and again just very normal loving way, we just say, hey, how you doing, and are you having a good day, and hey, we're just out here you know, praying with people and encouraging people in their faith walk with God. Is there anything that we can pray for you for right now? And she just says, you know, actually, I've been standing behind this counter all day, and my ankles are killing me. They're swollen. You know, could you pray for my ankles? And we say, sure. And we say, hey, would you mind if we just put our hand on your shoulder, right? So again, just being considerate of the person, loving the person, respecting their space. And she says, sure. And as we begin to pray, you know, in the name of Jesus, ankles be healed, swelling go down in Jesus' name, that the swelling, again, a tangible encounter. We physically saw the ankles go from being swelled up to just a minute later, you could literally see the ankle bone again. And it was obvious that the swelling had gone down. And we asked her, do you have any pain, you know, run around the store, jump up and down. Do you have any pain? She had no pain at all. So that's just another example of, you know, God bringing his fireworks in a fireworks store.
Thank
that's
you, Jesus. So good. Praise the Lord.
Patrick, another thing too is I think we need to have the confidence and the, like, what is our assumption? What are we assuming about our posture when we evangelize? And if you don't believe that people people are naturally ordered to desire God from their depths, then you're not going to evangelize, because you're going to think, oh, they don't want, people don't want God. But that's the furthest like lie from all, like all reason, because we were created for God. Our hearts are restless until they rest in Him. Do you believe that, listeners? Do you really believe that every person made in the image likeness of God is made for God? If you believe that, then it becomes the most rational thing to become a bridge, a connection point between the person that doesn't know God and God Himself, right? So what do we have, what are we going to believe? Are we going to believe that people deep down inside want God? And are we going to be willing to be His vessel and His instrument and allow Holy Spirit to guide us? I think that's so important.
Amen to that. Well, and if I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit and I carry the presence of God and the presence of God dwells in me, then everywhere I go, I bring the presence of God. And I just love like the idea that when you go out on the streets to evangelize, when you're in that restaurant, when you're in the hospital room, wherever you are, you're bringing the presence of God there. So it's not like, oh man, it's like, is God going to show up right now? God's already shown up because you showed up, right? And so like God is present. Are you going to allow Him to manifest Himself? Are you going to allow Him to make Himself present through the way you love? And when you love with openness, and when you love with boldness, it gives God permission to show Himself.
Dan, I need you to make a meme and put it on Facebook that said, God already showed up because you showed up. Boom.
Isn't that
awesome?
What would the picture be?
I'm stealing it.
Yes.
Just,
amen.
Just fireballs coming out of your hands.
Yes. And everyone just on the ground with like Holy Spirit fire over their heads. Thank you.
And you guys think Dan is joking.
Oh, we're not. It's coming.
Yeah,
it's coming. Awesome. That's, you know, we got a couple minutes left with you, Patrick. Is there anything else you really want to share with our audience?
You know, I do want to share this this funny thing that's coming to mind. For whatever reason, recently, I've been thinking about, God, what am I going to be like when, let's say, I grow to be an old man, and you know, I'm sitting in a nursing home, maybe being cared for, and I'm thinking, God, are you just still going to use me in a powerful way when you know, I'm the one that's sitting in the hospital bed or something like that? And I'm thinking, you know what? I cannot wait to be the guy in the retirement home or the nursing facility who's praying over everybody else there and seeing the fire of God and the presence of God come when I'm 95 years old and, you know, drooling from the corner of my mouth. So I just want to say, if there's anybody listening and you are, let's say you're, you know, bedridden, or you're somebody that's, you know, limited physically or limited in your resources, I just want to say, wherever you are right now, if there's somebody, if there's another person in your sphere of influence, you can touch them with the power of God. So I just want to break off right now in the name of Jesus any limitations that anybody has that, oh, I can't be an evangelist because I'm not out on the street, or I can't be an evangelist because I'm not properly trained or whatever. The fact is, if you're a Christian, the Spirit of God lives inside you and wants to flow through you to everybody around you. So just speak that over you in Jesus' name.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Oh,
what
a message.
So good.
All right, Patrick, I'm gonna challenge you. You're gonna
go to take a break.
All right, but Patrick, before the next time I talk to you, I want you to go to a nursing home and pray over the sick in the nursing home.
Amen.
Just start the ministry now.
Challenge.
You're on, Dan. You got it.
It's been given. Well, you're listening to Encounter, a co-production of EW10 Radio, St. Gabriel Radio, carried across the EW10 Global Catholic Radio Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's going to be awesome. Stay tuned.
Woo! Hey guys, this is Dan Dimite from Encounter Radio. Listen, we all know there's a crisis in our faith. Youth are falling away from the Catholic Church faster than ever before. They are disengaged and lack passion. In order to bring revival to the Catholic Church in America, myself and others have started the country's fastest growing Catholic camp called Catholic Youth Summer Camp. We offer week-long residential camps for middle school and high school age students that foster a high adventure faith, a faith that is deep, contagious, and joy-filled. Your kids will have a blast paintballing and ziplining. They will get to grow in confidence and bravery on our high ropes course. But more importantly, they will find themselves in a truly Catholic environment with daily catechesis that awakens faith and empowers them to live life in the Holy Spirit. Your children will come home from camp having encountered the love of Jesus and excited to go to Mass and adoration. This summer, invest in your child's faith development. Camp will sell out, so register today at CYSC.com. That's CYSC.com.
Hello and welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that have launched them into lives of extraordinary mission. Dan, what do you think about that time with Patrick? Wasn't that amazing?
Dude, he's just awesome. I just want more disciples like Patrick in the church, right? Like if we had more of that, we would just see so much revival and renewal.
He's so good.
Like you said in the intro, Patrick, he's just, his testimony is so biblical, and I'm just thinking more and more, like, of course, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in his life was so like Pentecost, where he goes out and then he starts preaching the gospel instantly in the hospital, which is hilarious. But then, but also just like, he had he graduated from law school, and he could have gone and had a prestigious career as a lawyer, making a great salary. But what's he doing? He's a street evangelization. He's full time. He really has embraced that call to go sell everything that you own, give it to the poor, and just be on the streets with Jesus. He's really living a life of just passionately for the Lord, directed towards his will for him.
Yeah, and he's not even a sports agent either.
Oh, I know. So,
isn't it amazing? Like, you could be happy without being a sports agent.
So
it's really good news.
He wanted to be Jerry Maguire, show me the money. Now he's just living like Jesus Christ. You know, show me the power.
Yes.
Show me the power, Holy Spirit.
Fire!
Fire! Yeah.
Yes.
That's where he's in the restaurant. He's just like, come on, power!
Yep.
Oh, it's so good.
So I want to share some reflections. Is that okay with you?
Reflect away, sir.
Okay, so Jesus, last words, Matthew's gospel, Great Commission. He says, all power and authority has been given unto me. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you to do. There's a few things I think of that are so relevant from Patrick's testimony. What verb does Jesus use about this commission? It's go. Go is related to green lights. Green light means go. Like you have a green light to spread the gospel. You don't have to wait for the bishop to call you. You don't have to wait for your parish priest to call you. Jesus has called you.
Amen.
Amen. And
amen.
And when you encounter the power and love of Jesus, the love of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit, a person, he fills you with that conviction and calls you to go do it.
Yeah.
And the greatest saints in the church, Dan, are the people that have encountered the love of God and the Holy Spirit and just gone out and started doing it.
Yeah.
And responding to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. That is the heart of what it means to be Catholic.
Amen to that.
And I inside in my heart, I weep that there's this powerlessness out there of because we're not doing it, and people think that maybe that this isn't Catholic because we don't see street evangelists and stuff like that. We've had people, I know St. Paul Street Evangelization, who Patrick works for, they get the question all the time, like, isn't that just for Protestants and stuff like that? No, it just breaks my heart. The book of Acts, that's a Catholic book, right, Dan? Like, didn't the church come up with that?
I think the early church was Catholic. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, it's time that we take back our heritage.
Getting back to our roots.
That's us. And you know what? Thank you, Protestants, for for helping us rediscover who we are. We bless you. We honor you. And we thank you for helping us become fully alive. But I want to be who God's called me to be.
Yeah.
And he said go, so I'm going to go. And I don't have to wait on any. I don't have to wait to be called because I've already been called. Am I making any sense? Am I preaching to anyone out there?
100%, man. And I
sometimes I just feel like I'm preaching to you, Dan.
Well, you kind of are because we don't. No, it's so good because just think about the. I think the star of that testimony is this girl that was in that hospital room that was bold enough. She didn't know Patrick, right? They were strangers, and she said, "Hey, I feel like the Lord's asking me to pray over you." And that launched his transformation and now his ministry. And that I wonder how often we're filled with those promptings, but we're like, oh, well, this is kind of a weird situation. I'm not going to ask the person, you know, and it would have been very easy for her to say, like as the Holy Spirit says, I want you to pray over him. Maybe she could have easily said, oh, no, it's weird. It's in the hospital. I don't know him. That would be like uncomfortable. And instead she said, green light, go. And she green went. Light. And then that activated another missionary disciple in the church. And that's what... it's kind of like dominoes, right? Like if I can push that first domino, then and the next domino pushes another and another and another. We need people who are activators in the church who say green light here, go, go, go. So that we're just activating more missionary disciples day after day after day. And then that's where we see transformation in our culture. We're not going to win back culture sitting around whining that we've lost the culture, right? We're going to win back the culture when we get our boots on, our laces strapped and we go.
One of my friends, he's a pastor friend of mine. He said, whining is the sure sign that you're doing it on your own power.
Oh, nice.
Whining is the sure sign that you're trying to do it on your own power.
Lord, save us from whining Catholics. We just pray for joyful, spirit-filled Catholic evangelizers who are that depression and despair are replaced with hope and joy because we know who has victory over sin and death.
Now, one of the best parts of Patrick's testimony is what he told us off air. I'll share it with you guys right here. It's he said he forgot to mention that this girl that prayed with him, she asked him, like, have you ever encountered like the Holy Spirit? And he said he paused and he thought to himself, well, I think so. And like he was kind of thinking about sacramental encounters and things like that. And then she stopped and said, oh, actually, no, you would know if you did. And that's what launched her into praying. And I just want to say, if I'm going to ask you, like, have you encountered the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? If you're not sure, then I think it's okay to ask. Dan, can you just pray for that right now? We have a few minutes. Dan, do you believe that God can pour out his power through the airwaves of the radio?
Oh, 100%. We've seen it. We've heard testimony of it.
Just go for
it. God is completely unlimited. So, Lord, we just expect that you would work right now. We pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, Father, you love your children so much. Your love is so unfathomable. And I just speak to you, listeners, and I say you are children of God. That the Father loves you and he wants his heavenly inheritance and all of the treasures of heaven to fall upon you, that he gives you the riches of heaven, the riches of joy and peace and love. So, Father, I just pray that all the treasures of heaven would fall upon your children right now. In the name of Jesus, you would send your Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would fill their hearts, fill their minds. Come, Holy Spirit, let your presence fall more, Lord. Touch their hearts, fill them with peace. Fill them with joy. Fill them with love, Lord. Allow them to know that you're present with them. Come, Holy Spirit. More, Lord.
Lord, I thank you for the way that you fill Patrick with your electric power. So, Lord, I ask you to pour out your power just like you poured out on Patrick. Just open up your hands right now, listeners, and say, Jesus, I want to experience you like that. Come, fill me. Yes. I'm not leaving this place until you fill me. We need you, Holy Spirit. I need you. I can't do it on my own. More. More of your love. More of your power. More of your peace. Lord, we need boldness. We break off fear in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, fill us with faith. Fill us with faith in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. So God, whatever you're doing right now, we bless whatever you're doing, whatever way that you're manifesting your power and love. And we ask you to increase it right now and throughout this day. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. So good.
That is so good. I
was getting soaked up, man.
I was too. I had a phone call from someone who's listened to our show a few weeks back. And he's like, dude, my friend and I, we were driving in the car and we just like the Holy Spirit fell upon us in the car. And I was like, pull over, man, pull over. So they just pulled over and just like we're like resting in the Spirit's presence in the car. So
and we just want to apologize for all that listeners that have been in car accidents during our prayer time. You're listening to Encounters, a co-production of EWTN Radio, San Gabriel Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Thank you for joining us on the show. If you want to learn more about us, our show, or listen to any of our past episodes, you can go to encounterradio.org. That's encounterradio.org. Thank you so much and have an awesome day.